This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Jesus Christ said over 2,000 years ago regarding the harvest of souls. He said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And then in Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38, Jesus Christ says, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So essentially what Jesus Christ was talking about was not only his time period, but Jesus Christ was talking about the last days and the latter part of the last days, which is where we live in, the time zone we live in. And despite the fact that there are evidences of the sinfulness, the rebellion, the hard-heartedness, the spiritual deception, the apparent lack of interest and rejection of Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, despite the fact that it appears on one level that our society in America and societies across the world appear to be hostile and rejecting the Gospel, in a sense, that could be perceived as true. But equally important is what Jesus said. You see, if we learn how to see people through the eyes of Christ, then we see all aspects of reality at a higher level of perception, the perception that God has. And so when we learn to renew our minds with the Word of God, and we begin to see people and situations through the eyes of Jesus Christ, we see it at an entirely different dimension than with just our ordinary human eyesight. Let me give you an example. So again, on one hand, people say that we live in a postmodern age or post-Christian culture, and that the millennial generation and other generations have changed. And that's true, absolutely true. And then we hear reports about even reports and statistics that I've given on this program, the Paul McGuire Report, that 9 out of 10 kids from evangelical homes walk away from their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they have 2 years of college or 4 years of college. So we have real statistical data that tells us that vast numbers of people are walking away from the church and apparently Jesus Christ. Now, that's an assessment made with a human intellect and human reasoning and human eyesight. But you see, if we have the mind of Christ and we have the eyes of Christ, we see the situation far deeper than what I just described to you. And we have to understand that to many people, they would say, based on just using human senses, human perception, and human vision, they would come up with an assessment that, you know, most people are not interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people are rejecting Jesus. Therefore, people's hearts are hard, and therefore it's very difficult in our time to save souls. And people are leaving the organized Christian churches in droves, which is true. All of that is true. But when we learn to use the mind of Christ, when we learn to see it through the eyes of Jesus Christ, we see it far deeper. Ultimately, we see what God sees, not what man sees. And you see, what this means is that all of this rebellion, all of this hostility towards Jesus Christ, all of this apparent hatred towards the gospel and Christians, all of the leaving of organized churches and droves, the tremendous resistance in our cultures towards the preaching of the gospel, and people appearing to not be interested in salvation or Jesus, that's really not the end of the story. That merely is a gigantic symptom of a deeper spiritual disease. In other words, we can't confuse the symptom of a spiritual disease, which the symptoms are what I just outlined, with what's really going on inside of a person's heart and mind. You see, they're not rejecting Jesus Christ in large numbers. They're not rejecting true biblical Christianity in large numbers. No, no. They're hungry. They're hungry. They're desperate for the truth. They're starving for Jesus. They are literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of people on planet Earth right now are not only hungry for Jesus, they're starving for Jesus. They just don't want what's being offered to them on the so-called Christian menu. They're not interested in the, quote, Christian religion. They're not interested in the so-called Christian religion and the Christian organized churches and this arbitrary Christian culture. Look, it's not that they're rejecting Jesus. It's not that they're rejecting the truth. They're rejecting the phony baloney stuff that's done in the name of Jesus. Now, Christ clearly understood this because he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful." Well, what does that mean? It means the fields are white with harvest. The harvest is truly plentiful. That means Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, like you and me, that the fields of humanity are bursting with people hungry to come to Jesus. And we're called to bring in this last day's soul harvest. And all the immorality and all the rebellion from God and all the chaos and all the spiritual darkness in our society and all the data that tells us things like Wicca or witchcraft is indeed the fastest growing religion in America. That doesn't mean people aren't interested in Jesus. It means whatever they've experienced in the name of Christianity has turned them off. And so they've been seduced by a counterfeit. But deep inside, many of these people are starving for Jesus. And then Jesus said in John 4:35, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes to the harvest?" You see, he was confronting human nature, our fleshly tendency as Christians to put off doing the job that God is saying we need to do now. Now as in N-O-W, now. Human nature wants to say, well, you know, people's hearts are hard. Maybe next year, or maybe things have to get a lot worse before people come to Christ. Man, the people who are saying that are in a spiritual delusion. They're living in a fog. Jesus Christ rebuked his disciples for making this miscalculation about the harvest. He said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields of humanity, human souls, for they are already white for harvest." So what's the problem? The problem is, according to Jesus, is that there are not enough born-again believers whose hearts are on fire with revival, whose eyes can see that the fields are white with harvest, and there are not enough believers in Jesus Christ who are willing to obey God by faith and bring in this last day's soul harvest. Because Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what is our job? Well, one of our jobs is to repent of our blindness and self-centeredness, to repent of it and to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to be a laborer in this last day's soul harvest." And then Jesus said, "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest," that's Jesus Christ, "to send out laborers into his harvest." So we become laborers, bringing in the last day's soul harvest, but we also engage in intercessory prayer warfare and pray that the Lord would send out laborers into this harvest. So how did this happen? Why is it that so many believers in Jesus Christ are not why is it that so many believers in Jesus Christ don't really have a burden for souls in our contemporary world? Why is it that the majority of believers in Jesus Christ are blind, spiritually blind to the reality which Jesus Christ told us, that the fields are white for harvest? Why? Why are they blind? Well, if we go to a passage of Scripture in the book of Revelation, and of course, the book of Revelation, that is censored, and 74% of evangelical churches not only censor the book of Revelation, but they forbid that it's taught to their congregation. In other words, they will not allow, in direct disobedience to the Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ, in open, direct defiance and disobedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the name of Jesus, which is a name above every name on heaven and earth, in direct disobedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, large segments of Christ's own church, people who claim to be saved, people who claim to be members of Christ's body, people who claim to be Christians, people who claim to be pastors of evangelical churches, people who claim to be professors of theology or whatever in the seminaries, people who claim to be Bible teachers, in direct disobedience to the Word of God and willful defiance to God's command and will as He has written in His Word, have forbidden the teaching of Bible prophecy to their people. They have forbidden using Bible prophecy as a tool of evangelism, and they have censored Bible prophecy from 74% of evangelical churches in America. So, of course, they wouldn't, their people and themselves, they wouldn't understand that they're in the last days and that there's a last day's soul harvest to be worked to bring in the last day's soul harvest. Why? Because they themselves know nothing about the last days, and their people know nothing about the last days, because they have willfully chosen to rebel against God and censor His word. Can you imagine this? Just think this through with me. People who call themselves Christians and Christians and leaders actually censoring God's prophetic word from their own people in direct defiance and disobedience to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the people don't know what's going on. They don't know they're in the latter part of the last days. And look what Jesus says. He's talking in the book of Revelation about various kinds of churches. And in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, we read the interesting story of the lukewarm church, or the church of Laodicea, which, by the way, I believe is a description of the American evangelical church and the evangelical church in Europe and other nations in the world, but especially America above all. And this is what Christ says. And to the angel of the church of the Laodicean writes, these things says the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could ask you if you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's how Christ feels about the lukewarm church. He says it sickens him. He's going to vomit it out of his mouth. Because you say I am rich, self-satisfied, say like the American evangelical church, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Okay, now, why is this important? Because despite the rebellion of the American church, the Laodicean church, the evangelical church, Christ still loves this church, and he's imploring that this church repents so that they're not lukewarm, so that they're set on fire by the Holy Spirit. And he counsels the Laodicean church to be clothed in the power and the glory of God, not to walk around naked like Adam and Eve did when they disobeyed the word of God. And then he says that he'll take away the shame of their nakedness. And then Jesus also says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So the Lord, because you see, when you're lukewarm, you're spiritually blind and you cannot see. See, when you're lukewarm, you're spiritually blind and you can't see situations and people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You're blinded. And God wants you to be able to see reality and people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. So he's offering to heal and restore their spiritual vision so that they can see again through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Now, how does that happen? That comes from repentance. That comes from individual believers repenting, pastors, denominations, and repentance has to be done by you and I, because we don't want anything in our lives to block the power of the Lord and to block our being able to see with the eyes of Christ. So when our eyes are functioning properly, which means they've been anointed by the eye salve of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, then we'll be able to clearly look all around us and see that indeed, if we lift up our eyes and look at the fields, they are already white for harvest. And then we'll understand what Jesus meant when he spoke to his disciples and said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So when our eyes have been restored with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit and our spiritual vision is restored and we can see things through the eyes of Christ, everything takes on a new perspective. First of all, we begin to see deeper and underneath the rebellion, the immorality, the hatred, the so-called hatred towards Jesus, the rejection of the message of the gospel, the proliferation of immorality and so on and so forth, the rampant spiritual deception. What we see is that's a symptom. And that deep down inside, many of these people are crying out for God. They're crying out for the truth. But since they've only been presented with a menu of lukewarm religion, it's not that they've rejected Jesus Christ. They've rejected the phony baloney religious stuff. So if we really see them through the eyes of Christ, we see that they're hungry for God. They simply need somebody to come to them who's anointed with the Holy Spirit, who loves Jesus Christ, and under the anointing and guidance of the Holy Spirit, lead them to Christ, win them to Christ, and you will discover that their hearts, although they seem to be hard, will melt quickly as they're exposed to the love of Christ through his people, and that's how we bring in the last day's soul harvest. Because you see, we're in the latter part of the last days. This is what it's all about. God has given us a prophetic timetable. We're in the last days. The prophetic signs all around us, including the reformation of Israel in 1948, started the prophetic countdown, which means we're now in the last part of the last days. At a certain point, the 7-year tribulation period is going to begin. At a certain point, the Antichrist will be revealed and the seven-year tribulation period will begin. At a certain point, there's going to be the judgment of God or the seven-year tribulation period on the earth. And at a certain point, there's going to be the deliverance of God's people, all God's true people, supernaturally from the earth. How could you possibly deprive your flock and Christians from the truths of Bible prophecy? I mean, I can't imagine it. So, when we see all the turmoil and chaos and rebellion that seems to signal people don't want God, the reality is the opposite is true. They have never been more hungry for God. As people, as the stress of our modern age intensifies day after day, the confusion, the chaos, the darkness, the uncertainty, the craziness, as that intensifies all around us, it's producing a secondary effect, and that is that it's driving people to look for the truth, to look for answers. So even though they may be in rebellion superficially, deep down inside, they're searching for salvation. They just don't know they're searching for salvation. That's why we have to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. And this is what our ministry, the Paul McGuire Report, is all about, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. We are dedicated to bringing in the last day's soul harvest. We're dedicated to seeing the fields that are white with harvest, and we're dedicated to using every form of media and every form of communication to bring people into the kingdom of God, to bring in the last day's soul harvest before Christ returns, because that's where we are in history. You see, you and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this, and we have been chosen to be here in the latter part of the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. And if we read the Word, we see over and over again that Jesus is telling us, because we've been chosen for this time, for such a time as this, you've been chosen. There's an immediacy to the need of preaching the gospel and winning souls for Jesus Christ like never before. You see, we're on the precipice of the last day's great soul harvest that needs laborers to be sent out into all the earth. And that's what we do through this ministry. We use every form of media possible to reach people all over the world. And people are saved. And people who've rebelled from the Lord and backslidden repent and come to the Lord. And then we're equipping God's people with the Word on how to fulfill their destiny in Christ supernaturally in the last days. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Pray and ask the Lord who you can send this message to. And then to be obedient, whatever God tells you to do, whatever God puts on your heart in terms of where to send this message to, do it. That's how you spread revival. That's how you spread the Word. That's how you spread evangelism and the truth. I'm Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So we are, in terms of God's prophetic timeline, in the latter part of the last days. What does that mean? We're in the period of time before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. We are not in the time period currently of, we have not yet entered the seven-year tribulation period. The Antichrist has not yet revealed himself. So we're in this time period. We don't know how long this is going to last, and I am not going to set dates. I never set dates because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, so why would I set the dates? If Jesus didn't know, why would I presume to know? I can say this, the signs of the times are seriously heating up, that would lead one to conclude that the return of Jesus Christ is coming relatively soon. But by soon, I don't know. So, somebody asked me about this the other day, and I responded how I always respond, which is simply, you know, I'm looking forward to God delivering me and God delivering you and God delivering all of his people from the wrath to come. I'm looking forward to that. Don't kid yourself. I'm looking forward to heaven. But I'm not looking forward to heaven if it means, you know, people that are supposed to be saved are left behind. That would be selfish. And I know the only reason God has not come back at this very second is because God is love, and he wants every man, woman, and child alive or that's going to be born. He wants every person that's going to come to him, because he knows who's going to come to him before they come to him. He wants to give an opportunity for everyone to receive Jesus Christ, because God is love and he wants to enjoy a relationship with each person in heaven for all eternity. That's hard for us to understand. I remember as a father, before my wife and I, and I'm not going to say it like this pastor said that I talked about in yesterday's program when he announced to his church, you know, he was trying to be all politically correct. And he said, regarding the fact that his wife was pregnant, he described it to his congregation as, we are pregnant. And he kept saying, we are pregnant. He never separated the differences. He kept saying, we are pregnant, which is, I guess, a politically correct term. Well, you know, the tragedy is that this was once a Bible-believing church. I happen to know the seminary that this pastor was educated in, trained up in for the ministry. And all I can tell you is that seminary, I mean, I can't judge the seminary by one isolated statement, but if this is an indication of the beliefs that young ministers have, I can only tell you that they have failed. Not only have they failed, it's worse than that. They have been taken over by the principalities and powers and the spirits and spiritual deception. So they would say, oh no, we're just trying to reach the world with Jesus and be, you know, use contemporary words. No, that's not what's going on at all. If you're producing pastors that are talking in such ridiculous ways, such as saying, we are pregnant, you are not evangelizing the world, my dear friends. The world has already evangelized you and conquered you. You are using their terms. You are marching to their music, to their beat. Luciferian. You are following the marching orders of the devil. You've deceived yourself into thinking you're being trendy, that you're really communicating to people. No, you're not being trendy. You're being a fool. Yeah, a fool. You're saying, well, that's not loving. That's not loving, Pastor McGuire. Yes, it is loving. Because I'm saying it in love. And if you don't think that's in love, hear me when I'm in the flesh, what I would say. It's a tragedy. I weep for this guy. Somebody needs to straighten him out. Because he's like, he's gonna crash and burn in his ministry at some point. Because his head isn't on straight. And God said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can't be in the ministry. You can't do anything for Jesus Christ. In fact, you can't be a victorious Christian unless you've learned through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to walk free from the spirit of fear and to have a sound mind and to walk with power, love, and a sound mind. Saying regarding your wife's pregnancy that we are pregnant is not evidence of a sound mind. It's evidence of a broken mind that needs to be healed by renewing your mind with the Word of God. Otherwise, you really need to get out of the ministry, because you're doing more good, you're doing more harm than good. You don't say we are pregnant. Now, depending upon the circumstances, which are really none of my business, I'm assuming that he impregnated his wife, which is what has been going on since the time of Adam and Eve, and that she became pregnant by him. Therefore, as a married couple, they have every right to rejoice in the fact that she has become pregnant. And you could even say, well, we want to announce that my wife is pregnant. We would like to you to share in our joy or whatever. That's perfectly fine. But you have lost your mind if you're going to go around saying, we are pregnant. Because I hate to tell you, buddy, you ain't pregnant. There ain't no baby growing in your womb because you don't have a womb. All right, enough of that. But you can tell how that... It's a very sad thing that the body of Christ has allowed the spirit of the world, the satanic Luciferian philosophies, and worse than that, they have the evangelical churches are completely unaware, ignorant, and uneducated. Let's get down to business here, okay? The overwhelming percentage of seminaries in America and around the world that claim to be Christian seminaries are and have been completely unaware that they have been the target of a long-term plan and spiritual attack against biblical Christianity that was designed strategically, methodically, and scientifically. There has been a full-scale spiritual war targeted against the Christian church and the seminaries and the pastors, etc., for the last 100, 200 years. And this spiritual battle plan was developed by a group of Marxist professors that were trained by the KGB back during the Communist Revolution in the early 1900s. They were originally headquartered in Moscow, and then they moved to Germany and created what was called the Frankfurt School. And the Frankfurt School was run by these Marxist intellectual professors, who in comparison to the Christian professors are exceedingly bright. I wish I could say the same thing of my Christian brothers and sisters, but I can't. You know why I can't? Look, there's notable exceptions. Because, you see, God's biblical principles work whether you're using them for evil or good. Remember how I've been teaching about in Genesis 11, God reveals the principle of success of why ancient Babylon at the Tower of Babel was able to become the world's first one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. And God, with his infinite wisdom, perceives what enabled sinful man to build this globalistic empire. And he says, the people have become one, and they're acting as one, or unified. And then God says, and whatever they purpose to do, nothing will be withheld from them. So what God was saying is that anytime a people or a group of peoples become one and act as one or in unity, that no goal that they set will be impossible for them to achieve. It's a principle that works for good or evil. And God judged ancient Babylon because God knew that in their hearts this was an Antichrist Luciferian global government. The New World Order is an Antichrist Luciferian global government. And God warned about it. Then we read in the book of Acts how the Church of Jesus Christ and the early disciples were able to evangelize the entire Roman Empire in a short period of time, which in effect allowed them to evangelize the entire world in a short period of time, Why? Because the disciples met as one in the upper room. The Lord poured out the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, upon them, power from on high. And because they were one and they acted as one, the goal of reaching the world for Jesus Christ was possible for them because they were operating in that same principle of unity and oneness. That principle works for evil or good. In the same way, God states in the book of Proverbs another principle that will work for evil or for good. And it comes from the verse in Proverbs, which states, the diligent shall bear rule, and the slothful or the lazy shall be under tribute or under slavery. The idea that God is revealing to us supernaturally is this: those people that are diligent about their business, good or evil business, they will bear rule. They will bear rule. They will have dominion over the earth. I hope the light of the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation, and he should. If you're at all open to God moving through His Spirit in your life, I'm telling you flat out right now that the Lord is pouring into your mind, heart, and consciousness at this very moment a supernatural revelation and understanding of this enormously powerful truth embedded in His Word, where it says, the diligent shall bear rule, and the slothful shall be under tribute. Again, which means the diligent will rule and reign and have dominion, and the slothful or the lazy will become slaves or under tribute. Now, whenever wicked people or people rebelling from God are diligent, they are going to rule over the righteous. They will have dominion. Now remember, God specifically intended for His people to be the ones who rule and reign and have dominion. That's the whole message of Genesis and the account of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were given paradise by God. They were the kings and queens of planet Earth. And God gave Adam and Eve the ability, the supernatural ability, to have dominion over the Garden of Eden and planet Earth. And God gave them the supernatural ability to rule and reign and have dominion. Okay? That's the same template, that's the same intention that God has had for His people, whether it was the children of Israel or whether it's the church and Christians today. And it will ultimately come to pass and be finalized when we get our new glorified bodies and enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, God, through His Word, Jesus Christ, through His Word, has clearly told His church in a commandment that they are, that believers in Christ are to occupy the land until Christ comes. That means God's people are supposed to exercise spiritual dominion, spiritual rulership, and authority to rule and reign spiritually over the land that God has placed them in. If America, then America. If Germany, then Germany. If France, then France. And so on and so forth. When God's people believe His Word and obey His Word by faith, then they are given the supernatural power to have dominion, to rule and reign. Then the last day soul harvest is brought in. Then souls are saved. Then we make disciples of all nations. But when the wicked are the ones that are diligent instead of God's people, then they will rule and reign. And because the wicked are diligent while God's people are lazy, the wicked will enslave the righteous the wicked will occupy the land, and it is the wicked that will have dominion and rulership. That's what's happening in the earth now to a large degree. That's what's happening in America now to a large degree. You look on television, you look at the chaos in Washington, D.C., you look at the chaos all over the world, and that's why you have to rightly divide the Word of God. You must make a choice whether you're going to listen to a faithful Bible teacher or a faithful minister of the Word of God, or listen to a false prophet or somebody who is not rightly dividing the Word of God. And it's a very sobering decision to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If your reasoning behind saying, well, I'm going to sit under this teacher, or I'm going to follow this teacher or that minister and stuff, is for reasons that don't please God. Well, this church has a nice coffee shop, and you know, I love the worship band, and the pastor is funny or whatever. Okay, you're going there for the wrong reason. The number one reason why you would become part of a church is because the minister, the church, and the other believers are walking and obeying the Word of God. They're being faithful to God. They're reading the Word. They're winning souls to Christ. Okay, you need to discern, because your spiritual well-being and the well-being of your family and the well-being of our nation is contingent upon it. So when you look at the chaos, it's because God's people have abdicated their responsibility to supernaturally rule and reign, occupy until I come, and they have abdicated their responsibility to rightly divide the Word of God. So how do we change course? You repent. You admit to God your decision is wrong. You change your ways and you ask for His forgiveness. It's plain and simple. We're in the last days. You see, the reason Christ is saying to His disciples several times that He's saying, look, open your eyes. The fields are already white for harvest. And He says it repeatedly. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask yourself, with all these Christians running around in America and megachurches, why are the laborers few? The laborers are few is because the majority, not all, but the majority of these megachurches and many other churches are not following the Word. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's questionable if many of these people are even born again. And yet you choose to be one with them. Well, you know, you may fool yourself. You're not fooling God. God's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. He didn't call you, and He didn't create you before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this, to sit on your posterior and listen to sermons and messages that tickle your ears and bathe in spiritual deception, for crying out loud. Rightly dividing the Word of God is imperative in the kingdom of God. So, your spiritual vision, your ability to discern right and wrong, error and truth, is activated when you are walking in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if the church in America was truly right with God, we wouldn't be having all this nonsense in Washington, D.C. I want to repeat that. If the Church of Jesus Christ in America was truly walking in revival, truly obeying and abiding in God's Word, and exercising their supernatural spiritual authority, we would not be in the mess that we're in. The chaos is a symptom of the fact that God's people are not right with God and not right with His Word, and they're not obedient to what God's calling them to do. Plain and simple. And that same principle is applied to you no matter where you live on planet Earth. If you live in Bolivia, if you live in Cape Horn, if you live in North Dakota, if you live in LA or San Francisco or New York or Minnesota or Texas or wherever, Fort Worth, Dallas, or an Asian nation, Hong Kong, African nations, Canada, the same principle applies. If your nation is moving farther and farther away from the things of God and promoting the things that God has specifically forbidden in His Word, it's because the Church of Jesus Christ in your nation, your city, your town, your community is not rightly dividing the Word of God. They have not repented of their sins, and they're not obeying the Word of God. Because if they were rightly dividing the Word of God and they were obeying the Word of God, they would be occupying the land. That means whatever nation you're talking about, that's what the land we're talking about. Christians in America are not primarily supernaturally called to occupy the land, let's say, of Italy. That's up to the Italian church, the true Italian church, not the counterfeit one. Okay, so this principle, the diligent shall bear rule, ruling over what? Chaos. Evil. That's occupying land. But the slothful, the lazy, and that laziness is a primary characteristic of the modern evangelical church. You say, well, I'm offended by that. Well, that's just too bad you're offended by it. It happens to be the truth. Because you see, if you were diligent about rightly dividing the Word of God, if you were diligent about studying God's prophetic Word, you would have the spiritual discernment not to follow false prophets, false teaching, and allow our nation to go to hell in a handbasket. That's right. God called you and other people you know before the foundation of the world to be in this specific time, because He has a special purpose for us together as the Church of Jesus Christ to accomplish, and He has a special purpose for us as individuals to accomplish, which can be only done through the power of the Holy Spirit and renewing our minds with the Word of God. I'm gonna be very, very honest with you. We are at a critical moment in destiny. We are at a critical moment in the destiny of America, the destiny of what's left of the free world. We're at a critical moment, and we are at a critical moment in the destiny of every human life, the destiny of every Christian, and the destiny of every nation, village, town, state, etc. Never before in all of human history have we all been collectively at this turning point. And I'll tell you again what breaks my heart. The devil, and many Christians are blind because they don't read the Word of God. The Bible tells us that there's a titanic spiritual warfare going on between the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angels, the people who are following the devil. They are waging war against God, God's angels, and the people who are God's people, the children of God. There's a titanic struggle in the invisible realm or spiritual world for control of planet Earth and for the battle for the soul harvest. The devil wants to use every strategy he can, and he loves to use immorality. He loves to use spiritual deception. He loves to use counterfeit gospels and false prophets, etc. He loves to raise those things up so people will embrace spiritual deception, be enslaved by him, and then not come to Christ in repentance and not become saved. That's the devil's job. The devil's job is to keep as many people out of heaven as possible. And one of the primary ways he does that is that he blinds the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So we use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, which blind people. We preach the truth, we live out the truth in love before them, and we communicate the truth, because truth has power. You see, the battle, the very atmosphere of America and all the nations in the world right now, the atmosphere, the intellectual atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, primarily due to the media and the internet, is the bombardment of lies, propaganda, mind control, social engineering, versus communication, which is based on truth, historical accuracy that sets people free. It's a gigantic battle between lies and truth. Truth sets you free. Lies bring you into captivity. That is why the battle always centers around God's word. God's word is true, and when you interpret it properly, it sets people free. The doctrine of demons, like Marxism and communism and socialism and this watered-down humanistic Christianity, those are all deceptions. They're counterfeit truths that prevent people from being saved and allow the devil to capture their souls for all eternity. That's what it comes down to. So, we have an assignment by God. Now, in a minute, I want to get into what this means to you and what it means now and in the immediate future. But remember this. The battle that we're now in, if you have eyes to see, is the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind, because this is the final spiritual battle before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to planet Earth. Because on the prophetic timeline, there's going to come an Antichrist and a false prophet that are going to bring great satanic enslavement and spiritual deception. They're going to bring back Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And they're going to bring in a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system. And people are going to think this is the ticket to utopia, when in fact it is a demonic, the New World Order is the demonic counterfeit of the kingdom of God. So the evil one, and remember, evil, Satan is the temporary god of this world, and he has created this Babylonian system, which is a Luciferian system, that controls the major power centers, the wealth, and it controls the majority of people on planet Earth through spiritual deception. And Lucifer's organizational structure is hierarchical, like the pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And the media and the internet is controlled by the elite globalists, many who at the very top are worshipers of Satan. They're Satanists. And they are bombarding the hearts, minds of men and women, children, saturating their minds with lie after lie after lie after lie after lie on every continent. Every time you turn on the news, every time you see a movie, every time you hear music, I'm not saying it's all lies. That would be dishonest. But it's a predominantly a lie. You see, what is coming out of the media? Direct assault on Christianity, the family, right and wrong. Nationalism or patriotism, which, by the way, if you're biblically educated, God is in favor of nationalism. That's why he judged the globalism of Mystery Babylon. And so the devil is using every media that he can, every technology that he can, to effectively what used to be called sorcery and magic and occultic powers is now called scientific mind control, propaganda, and persuasion. And the masses of people in America, many who are Christians, I hear them calling up on these Christian radio stations all the time, and they voice their political beliefs and they voice their perceptions of things. I'm talking about Christians that go to church, the majority of them. And what I hear, without exception, is all these people talking, and expressing their political viewpoints, their economic viewpoints, their social viewpoints on all kinds of matters, and they're Christians, and they go to some kind of church somewhere, but almost none of them, just a smaller percentage, the majority of them are walking in spiritual deception. They do not understand the Bible. They cannot apply the truths of the Bible. They can't think about economics or politics or society or anything else. They do not have the ability to make decisions on those things after having a renewed mind by the Word of God. Why? Because they've been too lazy or too disobedient to renew their minds with the Word of God. So they get up on the air and they spout off their opinions. And to anybody who is educated or renewed their mind with the Word of God, it's obviously, almost instantaneously, that this Christian, who very well may be born again, you know, you can be eternally saved in your soul, it's just that your brains haven't been saved yet. And the ignorance of God's people is unleashing a demonic plague on our nation. I hear person after person, and what they're doing is they're espousing socialism and Marxism. They have no understanding of economics, of history. They are moved by their emotions. They're completely uneducated. They have no knowledge of history. And most tragically of all, they have almost zero knowledge of the Word of God. They're seduced by propaganda, and does somebody look pretty or handsome or whatever, and they're just blathering on with hollow words that reflect that their minds and souls are under the control of the power of darkness because they rebelled from God and never really studied His Word. Therefore, they're walking in deception, encouraging others to walk in deception, creating a mass cultural movement consisting of many people who call themselves Christians and non-believers, but they have no knowledge of the Word of God, and they are behaving exactly like the Christians behaved in Nazi Germany. And that kind of thinking, behavior, and action being done by Christians is going to end up producing the exact same results as the ignorance and spiritual deception among evangelical Christians in Nazi Germany did. Because if you know anything from history, assuming you know anything about history, is that we're supposed to learn from history. Because history always, with mathematical certainty, repeats itself. But these people are blabbing away emotionally, and they have this boastful arrogance about them. But to anybody who has even exercised a minimal amount of effort to educate themselves both biblically and historically, it's blatantly obvious these people are deceived and they've been bewitched. The Apostle Paul said, "Who bewitched you?" And these people that call Christian radio stations, who are Christians, and they're speaking in favor of all these things politically and economically, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're bewitched. They're under a spell. And they are helping to bring together this one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, because they're under the great delusion. They're under the great apostasy. They're under the great satanic deception that this kind of socialistic idea, wealth redistribution and a United Nations government and all the rest of this stuff, workers' paradise, they're deceived. And so they don't realize that the promises they've been given are lies from Satan. And the people and Christians who were seduced by these lies in every other nation, like communist China, communist Cuba, communist Russia, and so on, every other nation where the Christians allowed them, and Nazi Germany, who allowed themselves to be seduced by these lies, ended up in hell on earth and none of the lies, none of the promises came true. They went into deep, agonizing captivity and slavery of the most horrific kind. That is an historical account. You see, but when you're ignorant, you just argue an emotion. You just blab your mouth emotionally. But you're really a fool. Now, you don't think you're a fool because you're deceived. But anybody with an ounce of intelligence, education, and wisdom knows you're a fool because you're not making any sense. Your claims are not backed up by any kind of evidence, historical or otherwise. We're going to be back in a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. But here's the important thing. We're in the greatest battle in the history of mankind for the hearts and souls of mankind. We're using spiritual weapons. But the key in turning the tide of the spiritual battle is to communicate the truth of God's Word, to explain the truth of God's Word to as many people as possible, all over the United States, all over the world, as fast as possible. That means using every form of media that God has given us and moving up the scale to use every form of media at the very highest level. And that costs money. It costs big money. Because, you see, Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, what we're doing on the Paul McGuire Report, we don't have a George Soros. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of conservative, super wealthy people. There doesn't seem to be anywhere near the same numerical amount of conservative or Christian people who are funding this spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind. They're there. We thank God for the ones that are there. But the big givers all seem to be on the radical left, like Soros and his pals. So that they have bigger bucks coming in. Well, we have to rely on the wisdom of God, the strategies of God. I mean, Goliath had bigger muscles than David did, but David still brought him down. So we are determined to use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are these satanic ideas. And you pull down the lies with the truth. And you have to use every internet avenue, every social media avenue, radio, TV, film, books, every means of communication, and that's what we're doing. We're constantly expanding, constantly growing, and now we have to map out strategies so we can't be censored because those people that are evil are using brute force to censor any point of view that they don't agree with. So that means we must use the spiritual principle that God revealed in Genesis 11, when he said, regarding the people who built this global system in Babylon, he said, the people are one. They're united in action as one, and nothing they propose to do will be impossible for them. So God was revealing the principle that enabled them to accomplish the impossible. Oneness, acting in unity, and then being diligent about it. By using those same principles, you and I can defeat adversaries far more powerful than we are. So I'm asking you to become one spiritually with me and this ministry, and to function as one for the purpose of achieving the spiritual goals that Jesus Christ has given us, such as being effective laborers, bringing in the last day's soul harvest, such as teaching and empowering God's people to be overcomers and to learn how to effectively occupy the land that he's given us until he comes, to effectively make disciples of all nations, to effectively
win souls for Jesus Christ all across the world in America, to effectively win the backslider to Jesus Christ, to win the people who are turned off to religion to Jesus Christ through every form of media. And God, I believe and I know from firsthand experience that every one of us who seek the Lord, God will give us supernatural guidance and wisdom that is so far beyond our own normal human intelligence that we will receive, you will receive, supernatural strategies, supernatural wisdom, supernatural guidance that will enable you in every realm of your life to be an overcomer, to subdue giants that you thought you could never subdue. I want to tell you something. There is no limitation upon what you can accomplish, the victories that you can realize, if you begin to tap into the infinite supernatural power of the biblical God by asking him in faith for wisdom. He'll deliver. He'll deliver faster than some of these pizza places like Domino's delivers. And what God delivers is good for you. So I'm asking you to join with me. Because this is it, man. This is not a joke. This is not a game. One series of catastrophes, manufactured crisis or whatever, and we could wake up and the entire internet could be shut down and censored. That would mean the blocking of all communication. We can't take our freedoms for granted. I'm telling you this. So, I know that I'm talking to a lot of people who feel just like I do. And your spirit bears witness with my spirit. So I'm asking you, first of all, I'm thanking you for standing with me. I'm thanking you for your intercessory prayers, which I literally can feel and my family can feel. And I've seen the results of your prayers break demonic powers over our lives and ministry. So I thank God for every one of you who are effective prayer warriors for us. Believe me, I notice it. I want to ask those of you that are gifted in the internet and technology to continue to seek the Lord and help us. I mean, just don't wait for an invitation. I'm giving you an invitation right now. Step up into the battle and help us do end runs around the censorship. Help us to expand to different markets. Some of you are very brilliant in these areas. I need your help, period. God's gifted you. Now, place your gifting in the service of the King. And those of you that God has blessed financially, I want to thank all of you that faithfully give on a regular basis. And you know what? I thank those of you that give small gifts, but you're faithful to do it every month. And I thank God for those of you that are obedient to give large gifts, because it's a mixture of both that enables us to finance what I'm talking about. If everyone who listened to this program was faithful to give a small amount on a regular basis, that adds up. And those of you that God has blessed in a unique way, I praise God when you go to the Lord and many of you have been so obedient to the Lord and God speaks to you and you think out of the box and you contribute largely. And I thank God for both kinds of giving because your heart is right. And I just want you to know that I look over the people that are giving and I look over the people with prayer requests. And by the way, you never have to pay for prayer. That's ridiculous. You just let us know what your prayer request is. We'll pray for you. But I look over your letters and your emails personally. I pray over them by name. I have a stack of letters right here in my hand. And they really, I live by your letters, by the way, because they encourage me. Together, you see, we can't, what we're fighting is a Goliath. But together, we can defeat the Philistine army behind the Goliath. America does not have to go down in captivity right now. It's up to us. It's up to us. Now, guess who rules? Well, I'm going to tell you that in just a second. I'm going to give you something. I want to give you a revelation of God's word, fresh from the throne room, that I believe will set you free from fear, change your perspective, and give you a boldness and a tenacity and build your faith like it's never been built before. So help us to win this battle, because now is the time of the battle. And now is the time for the soul harvest, no matter where you live on planet Earth. It's tragic to see. The Europeans are further along in the brainwashing process. I'm being very honest. They've been so socialized that they've become impotent. Not all of them, but a great percentage of them. They're trying to do that to us in America. They just are 10, 15 years ahead in Europe. And you know, my heart goes out to you. You know, I've been in France and Paris ministering. I've been in England. I know what the thinking and consciousness there. You're up against people who have been indoctrinated, and they're so brainwashed they don't realize that the things that are happening in Europe are happening by the design and evil plans of the globalists to subjugate you into slavery. That's not God's plan for you. But if you're going to disobey God, not read his word, and listen to the propaganda they're feeding you, well, then nobody's going to help you. You're going to go into captivity hard. You're not going to weep and wail. You think that's an exaggeration? Open your eyes to what's happening in your own nations. Same thing's happening here. It's just we're just a little bit behind you. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. By the way, let me recommend to you three books that will really educate you. And when I say educate you, you cannot be a person of power. You cannot be victorious unless you have knowledge and unless you're willing to pay the price to acquire knowledge, which is to educate yourself. You need to get my three books, Mass Awakening, Conquering the Matrix, and A Prophecy of the Future of America. Conquering the Matrix will reveal to you whether you have been brainwashed to whatever degree, whether people you know have been brainwashed. You'll be able to recognize the symptoms of even subtle brainwashing or mind control. And then you'll be able to understand how you can break free from it. You would be surprised. No, you would be shocked to know how many people have been brainwashed to certain degrees. And then also in Mass Awakening, I talk about this master plan by the globalist elite that began about 200 years ago. And you can read quotes in their own writing, for anyone who doubts, where they come right out in the open about how they created a scientific dictatorship, Aldous Huxley, where he planned and taught. This is already in gear, by the way. This is not like what's going to happen. It's happened a while back. The scientific dictatorship, according to Aldous Huxley, is when you brainwash the people through scientific mind control and transform them into slaves, except because of the brainwashing, the people that you've turned into slaves don't even know they're slaves. And furthermore, you program them or embed in them mind control in which you can program to learn to love their slavery. Now, that's happening all across the world. Brzezinski said the same thing. I gave you the quotes. If you doubt what I'm saying, read the documentation. These books are fast reads. They're not written for some like college professor course. They're written in a popular style. Mass Awakening, A Prophecy of the Future of America, talks about all the scientific mind control programs, everything from MKUltra to the infiltration of the music industry with Beyonce and others, and the Illuminati symbolism. All kinds of current events and how there was a master plan behind it all. A whole real story of the Jack Parsons and Wernher von Braun and Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard and the whole satanic thing that was going on You know, many people have copied the contents of my books. There's nothing I can do about that. At least the message is getting out. And then, if you want a simple, I had somebody read me a letter and their mind was blown when they read my book, The Day the Dollar Died. It's an easy read, but it explains to you some basic facts that you need to know, which is that the monetary system in Europe and the United States and around the world is a system based on illusion that goes back to Babylon. And I know that's a very difficult idea for people to grasp, but when you read the book, you will be absolutely convinced that what I'm saying is true. The entire world is controlled by a small group of international super wealthy banking families, the globalist elite. They, by the way, Wall Street bankers, financed Hitler. They also financed the Americans. They financed the communist revolutions, and they also financed American soldiers. They financed both sides of wars all the time. And they enslave people through debt. It's the debt slavery system. It's an occultic system that began in Babylon. And you'll learn things that you don't have to be an economic genius to understand the way money works. So read The Day the Dollar Died. And all of these are available at a discount at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Okay, so you have to understand, as we are in God's prophetic timetable, that with all the chaos that the globalist elite are inducing, the globalist elite, just three globalist elite corporations, control all the mainstream media. That's why the mainstream media all says and acts the same way, because they're controlled by a tiny group of individuals that are very powerful. But the greatest power in America, the greatest power in any nation right now, and this what I'm sharing now is important for those of you that live in America or any nation on planet Earth. The greatest power on planet Earth is not the globalist elite, it's not the international banking families, it's not the Illuminati, it's not Skull and Bones and the secret societies, it's not the military-industrial complex or the propaganda and mind control, etc. The greatest power on planet Earth, if you study the Word of God and you study Bible prophecy, of course, if you're attending a church where they censor Bible prophecy, you won't understand anything I'm talking about, and you'll be perpetually impotent on your way to destruction. The greatest power on planet Earth is the supernatural body of Christ that God has placed here on the earth. That's all true believers in Jesus Christ. That's people like you, the remnant church. It's the remnant church. It's God's supernatural body of Christ on earth that has been given the ultimate spiritual authority to rule and reign on planet Earth and to exercise dominion on planet Earth in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. That is more powerful than any human or demonic institution. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15, going all the way into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I want to read you this. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means you're not spiritually blind. Your vision has been restored. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means when Jesus says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for harvest because of the eyes of your understanding have been supernaturally enlightened by God. You will be able to notice that the fields are white with harvest. And then your understanding is enlightened, your wisdom is enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches and resources of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he, Jesus, put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. The feet of Jesus are the feet of the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. This is so important to get a revelation of what the word is saying here. And then it says, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up. That means God has raised you up. God has raised you up. This is so important. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would give your people supernatural revelation of what your word is really saying. Lord, I pray that as I read your word before your people, that their eyes would be supernaturally opened up, and that you would give them a supernatural revelation of what you're really trying to say. Father, there is so much power. There is so much anointing. Lord, I literally can sense the anointing of the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. I can sense the anointing of the dunamis or dynamite power of the Holy Spirit all over your word, God, now. And I believe that the reason I can sense this dunamis supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit all over your word right now, Lord, is because, Lord, you are at this moment anointing your word with the power of the Holy Spirit at an unusual level, because as I read your word before your people, God, you are going to destroy satanic strongholds and deception in their mind, and you are going to impregnate them with the power of your word. You're going to embed their word in their body, soul, and spirit, and you are going to revolutionary transform them into the victorious warriors and overcoming saints that you destined them to become in the last days. So I feel this tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit as I'm reading this word. There's an anointing on the word of God. And God is going to burst open in your heart and mind a supernatural understanding, a revelation of what his word means for you in the last days. So let me, please, with your permission, continue to read it before you. And I'm reading God's word, and it says, I'm going to go back to verse 22. And he put all things under his feet. Now, what is the feet of Jesus? That's you and I. We're the body of Christ, and the feet are in the body of Christ, but Jesus is the head. So when it says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, that means Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. So what this means, he put all things under his feet. It means that everything on heaven and earth, that's all things, every demonic power, Satan, every fallen angel, every human system organization, everything, every technology, every computer system, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, money, sickness, disease, whatever your mind can conceive, whatever your perception identifies as part of your reality, whatever it is, with no end, whatever it is with no end, like anything, just choose anything. The need to be healed from a particular disease, the need to have healing in a marriage, the need to have a husband or wife, the need to have the blessing of God and protection if you're single, and on and on and on. In Christ, you have dominion and authority over that, because you've been given the power to tread with your feet on serpents, which represents demonic powers, and scorpions, which represents demonic powers, and circumstances. You can tread upon them, which means you're taking dominion or authority on them. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. And we were all like that, weren't we, until we got saved? And now in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now listen carefully and let the Spirit of God detonate the strongholds that would attempt to blind you from this blazing, liberating truth. I'm going to read it to you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, detonate this, explode it into the minds of hearts of your people. Okay, so I'm reading it to you now. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let's focus in on this. You and I have been supernaturally raised up together to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, what this means is, and it's difficult to describe in human terms, is that you and I live down here on earth with Jesus Christ living inside us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has given us the supernatural authority to walk victoriously down here in the physical earth. But when we accepted Christ into our hearts and minds, it's difficult to explain this in human terms. We have kind of like a dual residence. Every one of us that are saved have a dual residence now. Okay?
We have a dual residence. It's like we have, each one of us now have two zip codes. We have the zip code of our earthly life, but we simultaneously, in our spirit man or spirit woman, we have a zip code in heaven. And the Word of God says specifically that you and I and every true believer in Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Now, where is Christ seated? Christ is seated on a throne room in the throne room of God, where he rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it says we are seated next to Christ in heavenly places. Where is Christ seated? Christ, once again, is seated on a throne in the throne room of God, the ultimate place of authority and rulership. That means when it says we're seated next to Christ in heavenly places, it means quite simply that you and I are seated upon thrones of rulership and authority next to Jesus in the throne room of God. Let me say it once again. When it says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, we know that Christ is seated on a throne in the throne room of God, where he rules with ultimate authority. But you and I, it says, are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Again, where is Christ seated? On the throne in the throne room of God. Therefore, we are seated next to Christ on thrones also. That means your spiritual man and woman at this very second is not only living life through you here on earth, but your spiritual man and woman is also seated with Christ. You're sitting on a throne in the throne room of God next to Christ. You have a throne, a personal throne with your name on it, which is seated next to Christ, because the Word says you're going to rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. So part of you is down here on earth, and the other part of you is sitting on an actual throne. That's right, you're seated on an actual throne next to Jesus Christ. He's sitting on his throne. You're sitting on your throne in heavenly places. So you're sitting on a throne in the throne room of God, this ultimate place of dominion and authority. Do you see that? I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, right now, I ask that the mighty power of God would come down from heaven and obliterate and detonate with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit every religious spirit, every legalistic false doctrine, that you would detonate it and literally blow it to pieces without harming your people, so that their minds would be free from the captivity of satanic strongholds and lies, and you would give them an inner revelation in their inner man or woman that they have so much spiritual authority in you that that authority can be exercised right now and at right this second on earth, but simultaneously they are seated with you in heavenly places, and you're seated, Jesus, on your throne in the throne room of God, which means your people are seated on their thrones next to your throne in the throne room of God right now, and they have been bestowed the authority to rule and reign with you. Wow, when you get a hold of that baby, you're not going to have any problem occupying until he comes. You're not going to have any problem exercising the faith to move mountains. You're not going to have any problem dealing with any demonic power. You're going to be so filled with the power of God that you're going to have the boldness of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to walk around with this religious nonsense filled with your head.
this bondage of false legalism, the bondage of false prophets, the bondage of false teaching, you're going to understand who you are in Jesus Christ, which means you are going to rock and roll your world and rock and roll this planet in the dunamis power of God, because you have been sent here before the beginning of time to accomplish a mission. And guess what? God doesn't create you before the beginning of time to accomplish a mission without already putting inside you the supernatural power and the supernatural dunamis power of God and the authority to rule and reign, which gives you the ability to say, mission accomplished, Lord, because he doesn't give you the assignment without first giving you the power to fulfill that assignment victoriously. Are we tracking together here? That means the apps that God has placed in you from the beginning of the world, you must download by faith. And when you see those icons, your gifts and talents and abilities, you're not to sit there in a daze. You're supposed to press your finger on the download button and by faith access everything God's given you. By faith access every download God has for you so that you will be a complete man or woman in Christ, completely furnished with everything you need to perform the mission that God has for you. And man, if that doesn't turn you on, I don't know what does. You're seated in heavenly places with Jesus right now. At the same time, you're walking in this earth with Jesus living inside you. Now, when you get a revelation of what that really means, and don't you dare limit it, don't you stick it in some funky little shoebox, because that's the expanse of your consciousness. Don't stick it in like a little tiny jar where you collect pennies. God has given you supernatural resources from above, because guess what, my friend? Guess what, my dear daughter, sister, brother in Christ? Guess what? You've been given so much power in the Holy Spirit, so much wisdom of God. How do you think, for crying out loud, that David dropped Goliath with one slingshot? For crying out loud, do you think David embraced this diddly squat, funky Christian retro running out of gas in a car, the air pressure leaking out of the tire, contemporary backslidden evangelical religion? No, that's an abomination to God. If you're part of that, get on your face, humble yourself before God, ask him to cleanse you with your blood and fill you with his power. And don't get up off your neck. You know what? You need to lay on the ground right while I'm speaking. You need to get your proud face and your proud you-know-what and lay prostrate on the carpet and put your face right in the carpet and humble yourself before God and cry out to him and begin by repenting this. Say this as a good start. I've prayed this prayer many times, so I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't done. I'm no better than you. In fact, I'm worse than you. But I've been saved by grace. Bury your face in the carpet. Cry out to God. Repent. Lord, I am sorry for being filled with religiosity. I am sorry for embracing the false doctrine. I am sorry for playing church while the world is going to hell. I surrender all to you, Jesus. And I ask you to consume my selfish, self-centered, carnal, sinful self with the fiery power of the Holy Spirit, and set me on fire until the great awakening burns with a blazing fire in my heart and I am consumed. Lord, send your power into me to such an extent that I am consumed with the desire to save souls. I am consumed with the desire to bring in the last day's soul harvest. I am consumed over the fate of my nation, and I'm willing to use the spiritual energy you've given me to occupy the land until I come. Now, when that kind of anointing and that kind of great awakening comes upon you, and you really grab hold of a revelation of who you are in Jesus Christ, then the devil flees. Then the tide of the spiritual battle turns. Nothing less will do. Failure is not an option in this game. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's all I have to say. Because if I continue to talk after what I just said, I would be talking in the flesh. I continued to talk up to when the anointing said, stop talking. So I'm obeying the Lord. And now I just close the program because I'm not going to talk past the anointing. And I'm going to say, get on board, partner with me, pray for this ministry, me, and what this ministry produces. Pray and get involved in getting us around censorship and spreading the word far and wide. And pray to the Lord about how you can support this ministry financially with your gifts and donations. Together, in unity and oneness, we can change the world. And remember, the same power that God puts in your life to win these spiritual battles, God's also concerned about your personal, individual spiritual battles. God bless you. I love you. Your brother in Christ. In fact, your servant in Christ, Paul McGuire. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.